Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Welcome back to another episode of Podcast P, presented to you by Prize Picks, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original. We have a special episode, the Postman P episode. I got my guys with me, Dallas Rutherford and Jackie Long.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we gonna do, guys? We gonna answer questions submitted by you guys.
I like that.
So first, before we get into that, how we doing? How we feeling? You know what I mean?
Good, man. Good. Just been
getting back together. It's been a minute.
Been good. Been a busy week. I'm preparing for a little event I got, which will happen a day before this airs. But so I've just been busy with that all week, just getting prepared.
Okay. Can we get a little insight on the event?
Oh yeah. What's going on? It's a real estate network marketing event where I'm just having agents, past clients, friends, family, just doing something in the Porter Ranch community.
Okay.
DJ, drinks, food. Just gonna have a good night and
invite only.
Invite only.
Okay. So some people can't make it.
And we got security.
Hey, you big time.
I got somebody that's checking that list. So okay. In case another lender tries to sneak in there.
Right.
Because then they're like basically trying to like poach like the agents that I work with.
Okay.
So if you're not on the list, you're not getting in.
You ain't getting in.
No.
And you want to be there.
It's going to be popping.
What's up, Bunk Bum?
You should come, Jackie, by the way.
Hey, send me. I come.
Invite right there. There you go.
I got my invite.
You got yours in person, on camera.
You know, indubitably.
Indubitably. So you can always run it back.
Come, Pete. You want to go? Be my guest?
Plus one?
Plus one?
You offering plus ones?
I'll get you on the list.
Come on. I just get you on the show, too.
I know after the game. I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah. I don't, but okay.
I just recognize you big snake today.
I didn't even see that either, bro. You know, I got to shout out to my boys, Made and Dina. They made me this from your boy.
You always got some shit,
LOL,
man.
LOL, what the fuck?
You got the feather hat on. He got the feather hat.
You know, I got everything, man. They always looking me up, man. You see?
What's the brand? Shout out the brand.
It's Made in Dina. Made in Dina.
No, but what about this? Is that the guy?
That's LOL. What the fuck, Eric?
So he made that?
He the one that designed the art, and then Made in Dina went on and made me hoodies and hats.
No, that's actually...
You know what I'm saying? I got some other colors I'm going to wear here, too. I'm going to show out a little bit.
You bunky.
But yeah,
hey, before we get into the questions, we are taping this before the Bucks and Bulls game, so Podcast P fan, be aware of that. Stay tuned. Like and subscribe. Follow all the social medias. Do all the good stuff where you want to find your boys. You did.
I had to tap into
a little Jackie.
We wanted to take a brief break from this episode to let you guys know that Prize Picks has got you covered when it comes to helping you make some money during the NBA season.
That's right. Prize Picks is helping me cash in. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app, and with the NBA season in full swing, you can select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and turn $25 into $250. Prize Picks is easy and really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds, Dallas.
It's also that time of the year where many sports are happening at the same time, and of course, Prize Picks allows you to pick combo projections across hockey and basketball with specials so you can support all of your favorite teams while still cashing in.
I know for me, I've been cashing in big time, baby. But anyways, look, that'll be talking about yours on another day. You know, so but be sure to visit prizepicks.com/podcastp and use code podcastp for a first deposit matchup to $100. And you already know what time it is.
Cha-ching!
Now back to the show. Before we start any questions from the fans, y'all know I got to be nosy because I got to do it. But P, you got to tell me in Dallas how your boy Russell Westbrook doing with the surgery arm. I mean, with the surgery hand,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he doing good. I checked up on him yesterday, actually, and spirits is high. He doing good.
Okay.
You know, that's he a superhuman, bro. So I no telling he'll be.
What happened?
Back.
What happened to his hand?
He I saw when it happened during the game. It was like second quarter, early or mid, maybe middle second quarter. He like reached from behind, and I think he hit. Was it Jordan Poole's elbow?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I saw him like looking at it. So, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. And then he finished the half off. And then I seen him in the back and he was just like, you know, grimacing a little bit, holding his hand. So at that point, I mean, I knew it was something up. Russ don't usually, you know, he pretty unfazed about stuff. I know we talked with Zoo was here.
Right.
Like, we never see him hurt. Like, you never see him, like.
That's why I'm shocked. Like, bruh, right?
Yeah. I'm the most durable person.
The good news out of it, though, they say he will be back for the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it's probably good that he's like, taking this
little
time.
Break.
Yeah. What?
Energy's but how gonna y'all be crazy. Like,
energy gonna be crazy.
So how y'all adjust when he's not, like, how do y'all adjust as a team when y'all got Russell with all that energy and all that coaching on the side? How do y'all? What do y'all do now when you got your boy out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we all can't do it alone. I think Bone's been playing good in his replacement.
Ooh, I was going to talk to you about
the more Bone. The more comfortable he get, the better I think he'll be in a flow. He got that energy. He got that. He fast, like he quick as shit.
He been doing his little juke. I've been seeing the team get up and like, Bone.
He's crazy. His like, feet tap so many times.
His feet tap so, and it just be like, he's so quick and like shifty and he just got a different like cadence to him. But yeah, he's fun to watch.
Bones, you can tell he learned a lot of stuff from
Bones
Russ.
Bones is fun to watch.
He learned a lot of stuff from Russ, you can tell. Like going to the rack like that. You could tell he definitely did.
You think he picked up some stuff from him?
Oh, for sure. If he didn't, I would call Bones and say, you stupid. If you
and he got
it,
like, what's crazy, Bones got a post game for, like, how little he is.
I ain't seen his post finishes, game. Bro.
Yeah,
he
and
got
he
both
finish.
Hands.
Yeah, and he could finish.
Bones got both
making,
hands.
He got a weird three jump shot, but he was making
it's
something
quick.
The other day.
It's quick.
Yeah,
that
real
going
quick.
Quick.
I do want to ask, though, about Bones. Like, what are you, like, telling him as a teammate? Because he's kind of gone from, like, two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knew who he was. Then he got his moment to shine, and he was shining.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to take a back seat for whatever reason, coach's decision, team's decision, and he hasn't been playing at all. And then for him to get another opportunity, I know from a personal perspective, he's got to really enjoy that, not just to show the team what he can do, because I'm sure you guys know, but just for his career in the NBA. Like, when you get minutes in the NBA, that's your time to show everyone, every team that, like, you can play. But what have you been talking to him about, like, as far as that transition? Because it's got to be a little difficult for him.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely frustrating. Like, I've had a couple talks with him just to kind of keep his, you know, his spirits high and just keep him, you know, in the right mindset. Because it is frustrating, like, especially at his age. And then you watching, like, I can only imagine if I put myself in his shoes and I'm watching my peers and guys was in the same draft with me and they're playing and they're having success and I know I can perform and I can, you know,
contribute,
put points up. Like, I know I can help a team out and you don't play, especially when you had success on a team already that was at one of the best teams in the NBA coming from Denver. And you were playing, and then now you get traded and it's like, oh, okay, now I have a new opportunity. And then that window closes for a short stint. You could definitely like lose sight of like, damn, like I don't want to be here. Like, I could be playing somewhere else. So, and not to say that was his mindset, but I could see how that could affect you. But I've been trying, you know, I think everybody, we have good vets, myself, Russ, James. You know, even PJ, Kawhi.
I'm about
like,
to say, even though PJ, he going through the same situation.
Yeah, he going
what
through the same situation.
What do y'all say to him?
That's
like to a vet
he's in
person.
Yeah, yeah, he's in a different situation too. But it's the same thing. Like, PJ has been a ultimate professional. I would say he's been, even a short stint with him being with us, he's been like a vet for me. Like, and I didn't, like, PJ was one of them dudes I would get into it with on the court just because, you know, his tenacity and the way he plays defense. So I didn't never think, like, we would be this cool or have this type of relationship once he joined the team. But PJ is actually, like, one of the people that I'm, like, I've gotten, like, you know, pretty close and cool with. And he's just a good dude. So I think he's handled it, like, great. I know there was a little rocky situation going on not too long ago, and it got on social media about, you know, the PJ and the Clippers stuff. But outside of that, like, he's handled it well. When his number's called, you know, he's ready. His thing is just prepare me. Like, if I'm a play, let me know so I can prepare and be ready for
it. I would feel so bad, though. Yeah. He just been sitting.
Because you've been, like, 18 years he's been playing. Man. Like,
and
you know what I mean?
And he got a ring.
And you got a ring. So, like, at this age and at this point, it's like, if I'm not playing now, what, like, what the other team's going to look at me and be like, oh, he can't contribute anymore. Like, you know, he can't play anymore. So at this age, it's like, no, nah, don't do me like that, you know.
Don't leave.
But that's kind of, like, you know, tough in his, you know. But like I said, he's been doing a great job of just handling it.
One thing that I've noticed about Bones, which I'm curious your thoughts on this, on how much this matters, because I know in college and high school it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a high school player and you're in a game and your teammate throws a bad pass and you're sulking, you have a bad attitude. I think that college coaches and people look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bones has had a good attitude throughout what's been going on with him playing, not playing. And to me, that would be the most difficult part of the whole thing, is sitting on that bench and still being cheerful for your teammates, supporting them. But do you think that in the NBA, other teams look at that kind of stuff? Like, forget your play, but just how Bones is handling himself in his situation. Do you think there's any other teams or even the Clippers looking at that and going, we like that?
I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, teams pick up on all of that stuff. Like, that's the reason before you get drafted, you do meetings and you sit down with teams, and they want to know, like, off the court. They want to know the mental. They want to know personality. They want to know triggers. Like, that's the reason they want to do those meetings. Like, so they watch everything. Like, even when, like, they'll go back. Like, when I got drafted, I had people coming up to me, like my high school coach, like one of my teachers. Like, they were like, oh, this person came to me and asked me questions, like, about your work ethic, about your personality, about, like, your attendance. Like, you know, that's how far, you know, scouts and coaches and, like, look into it. So, hell yeah, they absolutely gonna watch and see how you act. They're going to ask the GM. They're going to ask the president. They're going to ask the coaches. Like, how has he responded? Like, so you got to be aware and mindful of that. Like, I tell guys all the time, like, you come in the league, you're not playing for just one team. Like, essentially, you're playing for the whole league. You know what I mean? Because it's a business. At some point, you're going to get traded. You're going to get moved to a new team. And you got to have, like, you don't want no type of mark on your name that's going to have someone be like, we'll take the other guy. You know what I mean? So he's been great. I think for what it is and the position he's in, I think he's handled it great. And it's been a growing pain. He's had to grow up, and, like, you know, I think it's been, like, I think now when he looks at the situation, it's like, I had to mature. This is going to make him mature into a whole nother level of understanding the business.
I just want.
What's your damn question?
I wanted to ask you about when y'all played the Milwaukee Bucks. Your boy Patrick Bradley was talking smack on his show. You know what I'm saying? He was going to shut down your moves and all. And I want to know what the heck y'all was going talking about it.
Yeah.
And all that he was talking.
You know, he texted me. What was it, this morning? He texted me this morning.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. He texted me this morning about the game and good bump and, good, you know, bump. Yeah. You know, it was just good basketball. You know, Pat the dude gonna hype himself up, which he played well.
Right,
you know,
right.
He did
right.
play well. I won't shortcut his productivity that game. He played well on both ends. Hit big, he hit a big three in my face.
That corner three was big.
And I was giving it to him, like.
Oh, you were skeleton.
I wanted to wave him off after he missed it. Like, yeah, I ain't contesting that.
Did you do your move on him? That he said that you.
Nah, I mean, because I didn't, like, I never really. like with him, when we play him, I know to catch it at the elbow and work from there. Like, I'm not going to get into a dribble because that's his game. Like, and they're going to let him get away with holding and scrapping and getting into me. Like, they're going to, if I play with my body or if I bump him, he's going to
do
so something. I'm not going to even get into that type of game. And so I never really got to, you know, my spots the way I wanted to. But he was on the like quick swipe downs. He was on that one. He was definitely on that one.
I just had to, you know, just know a little something.
Yeah,
like
this. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's, at the end of the day, I know just what kind of game he's gonna bring. So like, I don't even get into the back and forth during the game. Like that's what gets him going.
It's just funny.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was fun playing. Like it was a fun game. They played fucking good as shit that fourth quarter to come back. Yeah.
You were locked in. Now that you said that, like, I was surprised almost that you weren't more animated. But I understand why. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? You'd make a shot and then they'd go to your face, you know, and I'm over there. Like, if it was me, I'd be like,
yeah,
you know, looking at him or doing something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not about you to were make completely, this a Paul George versus Pat Beverly game. Like,
you did right.
You did right.
They got the win. It was a good ass win.
He's such so annoying. You know, you had the ball up right here. They were the whistle already blow. He gonna hit it out your head.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is you doing? The golden game. He's just annoying. But we still love you, Patrick Beverly. You our dog. You our dog, man. That's all I want to know, though, P. What he has said. Get that out the way now.
Can't believe he's wearing a shirt with a snake around his neck. Little I snake. Love it.
Come on, little snake.
All right, so the first question is from Jan Flock, and they ask, what do you think of the Rookie of the Year race? It's pretty much between Wemby and Chet. Who do you think is in the lead right now?
This is a tough one, like, because I feel like at one point Wemby goes ahead, and then the next point Chet goes ahead. Like, it's a toss up, to be honest. Like, both of them are really deserving of the Rookie of the Year award. It is tough. Like, people always bring up, like, is Chet worthy because he's not technically a rookie?
Yeah,
here we go.
But at the same time, this is his first official NBA season. So it is like, it's a tough debate.
Yeah.
Because you're almost still in like somebody else's like year. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you are.
Like, this is Wemby's class. Now Wemby has to compete against.
And you learn so much. Like, you know, he's got more experience than him, even if he never played a game in his first year.
How tall is Chet?
He's tall.
That's like 7 foot, 7'1".
And Wemby is Wemby's
like 7'4".
I give it to Wemby just because
he's taller.
It's his tall. It's his rookie year. It's his rookie year officially. Really.
No, I agree.
Giving it to? You got to pick one.
I'm gonna give it to Wemby. Like, Chet's on a winning team. He's got a great group of young guys around him, and so not much pressure is like solely on him. The expectation for Wemby is extremely high. He's playing on a young team as well, but they're not as successful, and I don't think quite yet the talent is as high as Oklahoma's. He's relied upon to do a lot on a nightly basis, and he's doing it. He's contributing. If the numbers are close, yeah, his team isn't winning as much as Chet's team, but that's because of Chet's team's better. I think he's handling as with the expectation. He's doing a great job.
I think he deserves it. I think he's I
and
agree
he's the
with,
official rookie. Like, yeah. This is his rookie year.
And after rolling an ankle like he did and got and back in the game, you got to give it to him just for that ankle.
Well, you keep
up.
Bringing up that ankle, man, bro. That was like that 2-3 nasty. Months ago, Bunky.
That shit was nasty still, dude. I still remember. That's why it was so nasty. And he got back and played. I was like, damn.
Yeah, he did. He just rolled it off.
Yeah, that's rookie of the year
I think the NBA wants him to win it as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. That's
and,
great
and
for
fun
San Antonio.
Fact, I didn't know this, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone here, but I just found out that Wemby has a little brother.
Does he?
Bro, he's 6'8". He's 16 years old. He plays for the France national team, but
really?
There's going to be
Wimby
a baby
Yama.
Alien
Wimby
coming
in the league.
There's another Wemby.
There's
Yama?
Another Wemby on the way, bro. It's his little brother. I did not know that he had a sibling.
I haven't seen no footage of like games or like.
Either have I. You think that with the right. I saw something on Instagram today and I looked at it. I'm like, oh Lord, like there's another one on the
he
way.
He coming.
But
soon.
I mean, that's how Victor was like. You ain't hear nothing about him up until like the
Why
year he comes
that?
Out. And then now it's like, oh shit. Where was he stashed at?
Well, second question is from Hey_Winter. asks, PG, who do you think wins MIP this year? Kobe White or Tyrese Maxey or Jalen Johnson? That's a hard one.
This is a tough one. I think all three of those are deserving too. And all of them have their own case. Tyrese Maxey definitely has an extremely big case with being a starter, being an all-star. And, I mean, he's been playing well, especially with Joel being out. He's been carrying Philly. Jalen Johnson has been surprised. Like, I didn't quite know his game. Like, I didn't quite know his game, but I think he's evolved. And when you lose John Collins and then Jalen Johnson comes right in and right away replaces him. And then Kobe White has just been hooping, like 30 pieces, 40 pieces. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I would have to pick Kobe.
I would say it's between Kobe and Jalen.
Oh, really?
I would say because Tyrese, like he,
bro,
you can see Tyrese, like you can see this coming. Like you can see Tyrese's, you know, you can see that, like, especially playing with James. He played with James and Joel, and he was still producing at a high rate, like still putting up 18, 20 points, playing with, you know, still being efficient, score, playing with those two guys. Like, you saw, like, okay, once he becomes the guy, he's going to be able to fit right in and produce at a high level. Like, so that, I didn't think he improved a lot, but I didn't think it was, like, eye-opening, like, he got better. Like, I just think, like,
he always been nice.
He always been nice. I saw him be coming in that role. Kobe White had high promise, I think.
I was just
coming out of North Carolina.
Was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Now he's kind of
I think he's kind of put it all together, which usually happens, guys. The game slows down and you find your game, you find your pace, your tempo, and you like figure out how to play in the NBA. And I think that's what the case with Kobe White. Jalen Johnson is just, I didn't know his game. I honestly didn't think he would be what he is and what he's shown now. He's actually a player that you can get a ball to and you know, ask for some production. But, I mean, if I had to pick, it's between Kobe or I mean, it's a toss-up. It's a toss-up. I'm going to go Kobe just because what he's doing, and I think this is the turning point for, like, he's going to get paid. He's going to be, like, a figure now. He's gonna be a player, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, years to come, he turned the corner. Like, he understands how to score, how to be efficient, how to be a NBA player and play at a high level. Like, this is the Kobe White you'll see going forward. So I would say most improved goes to Kobe White.
I like it. I want to give you a little pushback though. Would you say that it's harder to become like what is Kobe White averaging right now, do you think?
He's probably averaging like 17, 18 points.
And what was Tyrese averaging before Embiid went out? Probably like the same?
Nah, before more? Embiid, he was averaging like 24, 25.
Oh, so he was still, he was still averaging a lot. Good.
I think even when he was with James and Joel, he was still averaging 20 points.
I'm curious on like the gap, like kind of like in golf, like when we talk about like going from a shooting 100 to a 90, it's a big gap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wonder in the NBA, like, is it more difficult to go from like 0 to 14 points, or is it more difficult to go from 24 points a game to 28 points a game? Even though it's only a 4-point increase, now you're the main guy on the team. You don't have Joel, which your whole entire offense runs through Joel and gets you easy buckets. Like, I don't know. I would still go Tyrese, but what do you think that gap is? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is that real thing?
Yeah, for sure. That 4 points, like, you can still get better, you know, averaging 4 more points. Like, you can still, like, he could very easily still be the front runner for most improved. I'm not saying it from a point situation, but I just feel like when you talk about growth,
right?
Who grew more from the previous year till now, I think Kobe has made that jump. And I mean, you can make a case that Tyrese should have won it last year for the jump that he made into the season prior to this year. You know what I mean? I think he made that jump and then now he figured out like how to really like score and be efficient and you know.
I gotcha.
I just think Kobe's jump.
No, that makes sense. Most improved, like it's a category.
Yeah, I'm a fan of all three. I think all three have a extremely, extremely good case for winning it.
All right, the next question is from Ryan Conwell, 8677. He wants to know, who are some players that you feel have had a great season this year that the media doesn't talk about?
Right off jump, I think, and I was extremely impressed with his game, Cam Whitmore from Houston. He can be a player if Houston Rockets continue to play well and get into the playoffs. He's a name that could, you know, like next season, like we Cam's got to play. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's a player that I think is going to shake up some things in Houston and can be a star player. You know, I saw stardom on both ends. He played hard on both ends. He can shoot it. He can handle. He's explosive. He was strong. And he was just, he had a nastiness to him that you don't really see in a lot of super young guys. He was trying to challenge me. He was challenging Kawhi. Like he's a name that I think, you know, he hasn't really, cause he's a rookie, hasn't had much, you know, coverage on him, but he will be good and he's good now. I think Colin Sexton, no one's been talking about how good he's been playing in Utah. He's always, you know, been playing at a high level, but I think with that group, he's still keeping them competitive with marketing. Austin Reeves has been super consistent, I think, this year.
And that's,
I know he's one of your favorites.
Yeah,
your
favorite. No. Well, because he got paid too, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's
always
pressure,
that,
there's pressure
that, like,
there.
Okay, being, now that he gets paid, is he going to – he's been playing great.
Exactly. I think just, again, consistent. He started off a little rocky, I think, this year, but he's smooth selling now, and he's been super consistent. Jonathan Kuminga, I think he's made a big jump and could be in that conversation for most improved. I think he's getting coverage. He's getting notoriety.
Yeah.
But he made a huge jump with just his efficiency.
Lively. Does he get a lot of press?
Derek Lively for the Mavericks, yeah. I think he compliments Luka so well, compliments Kai so well. Like, that's one thing you need, right? Especially with Dwight Powell. He got hurt, right? Dwight Powell been out? Yeah, with Dwight Powell being out, being hurt, I think he, like, is that next version of Dwight Powell for them, who can, you know, be a quick roller. Like, you need that with Luka. Somebody that can set the screen, get out fast, and create havoc. Do I stay with Luka? Do I go with the roller? Now it gives Luka freedom to get into his bag. So he's definitely another name that's I think doesn't get as much coverage, but he's, you know, rookie guys, they once playoffs start, that's where he'll make a name for himself. But like I said, Jalen Suggs, I think he's been playing great in Orlando. He's turned the corner. It's fun to watch the young guys when they figure out their identity. That's always fun to watch, because you see years and years like will they? Are they, like, you know, how good will he be? And then when they figure out their identity, it's like, oh, okay, now let's see him take off from there. And so I think he's figured it out as well. And obviously Jalen Williams, but I think he's getting notoriety and he's getting coverage, having a big showing All-Star Weekend and the production he's doing this year.
I like it. I like it. Good answers.
I like it.
You want to add anything to that, Jackie?
Nah, they just
who
I was gonna say Lively. That's Lively. One guy when I watch him, more so on the defensive end. I feel like just like he's athletic. He makes, you know, people make tough shots, mm-hmm. and you know, Kyrie and Luka, you don't just think defense.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to be successful, that you gotta have someone down there I like that he plays hard. Anybody that plays hard in the NBA, like, you can just tell. Like, Pat's one of those guys. Like him or not, like, he plays hard the whole entire game. It's like, well, you can't really knock someone like that. But he was someone that I thought of. Like, I don't think he gets a whole lot of media coverage. Maybe it's just because he's in Dallas. But I think he's a good pickup for the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I was going to say, he's not even in it, but, you know, I don't want to say it because he's awesome. But he's not even getting no attention right now.
Ooh. LaMelo?
Exactly.
Because
he hurt, you know. But all the people that he said, the only one, LaMelo Ball found his identity fast.
Yeah, he did.
Fast.
Yeah, he did.
Fast.
But you already knew he just got star power written all over him.
Yeah. That's why I didn't say nothing, because we
you said it.
He ain't been getting no shine this
year. Hopefully we get Alonzo. Hopefully we get Alonzo.
You remember Jeremy Anderson, right?
Yeah.
So Jeremy Anderson was a UCLA point guard. We played together on the pump team, and he's been overseas. He's played all over the place, but he posted a video yesterday. Guess who's on his team now in Mexico?
Jello.
So Jello and Jeremy are on the same team in Mexico
right now. What was Jello doing?
So they're on the same team. I haven't talked to him much about it, but I know.
Yeah, that's
Jeremy's
dope.
Jeremy's probably
done. That's what I'm trying to make.
Keep going, Jeremy.
So the next question is coming from Chuck_2023, and they said, coming off the fixing of the NBA defensive conversation in the previous episode, one rule that I think would change that would help if the NBA removed the 3 seconds in the key on defense. Do you think that would help, even though you said the game is too far gone?
And you could just sit in the paint.
People would be getting exposed.
The problem is the 3-point attempts. Like, I don't think the issue is people being in the paint, like, because it's not like that 3-second call is like people are in the paint longer than 3 seconds.
Yeah,
like,
doesn't even get called that often.
The refs aren't like counting every possession. Like, that's boring as fuck. You know what I mean? So I don't even think that makes a big difference. Like, people are going to find ways to just sit in the paint. So I don't think that does anything, and that's not going to limit. The problem is it's a lot of 3-point attempts. Like, I don't think that's going to limit 3-point attempts, which is what the NBA has gotten to, you know? So I honestly don't believe that's going to, that rule is not going to help the NBA.
I think you bring back hand checking.
You think hand checking is it? I don't think that helps either.
Because the offensive is so skilled, and you can't put a hand, you got to play basically, you can't touch them.
But
there's less 3-pointers. If you're able to sit on somebody and keep an arm on them or guide them with your hand, I feel like, guide someone to the lane.
I don't think, because hand checking is like, we're hand checking now. Like, people are still like hand checking. You're just not hand checking for a long period, but you're hand checking still.
I hate when I see that.
Yeah, when you're doing that.
Or this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a hand check, but like, refs aren't calling that shit consistently. You know what I mean? So like, that still goes on. It's not like it's, you know, something they're calling right away to where we can't hand check. Like, they're still letting people get away with the hand check. I think that's just going to make for ugly basketball. Like, that's, people going to be backing down like old days. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it'll slow the game. It'll give the defensive.
It'll slow the game down for sure. Which one do you want to see more? Or you want to see more baskets?
I want to see more stops.
Like, when you go to a game where you're like, this game is boring. Like, you're not
talking like Gary Payne, like all up in you the whole way up the floor. Like, you really like
you want to. You rather see that?
I mean, what other rule could you think of? I'm just giving my suggestion. But yeah. Like, what else could you do? Because the guys are so skilled now, and now you can't touch them at all or less than what you used to be able to.
All right, let's think. So what do you want? You want less scoring? You want, like, if you're GM, I mean, you're commissioner of the NBA, and I come to you and it's like, pinpoint exactly what are you trying to eliminate? Less scoring, less fouls, more threes, less threes, more layups. Like, what
it's
exactly
not necessarily
are you trying to
what I'm trying to see. I'm just going back to the point of like, the NBA is all offensive and it's gotten too much on that end.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm just talking about like the game of basketball, I think the defensive side is not highlighted enough. The rules, it's just, how do you guard? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the moral of the story. You can't guard somebody when you can't put a hand on them. The guys are too talented. So it's not necessarily what personally, well, I like defense, so I would want to see more defense, but I'm just thinking of something that could bring balance back to like, okay, like, you can defend this way now.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it depends on, guys might take advantage of that and to find way out. But
I think the NBA has to get like, like, let a little bit more of the chippiness, scrappiness, like, I think the flagrants are too
much.
Just say it. You said the NBA too soft. Basically what you said.
It could be a little bit more, like, I think that will ultimately, like, not in a bad way, like, because at the end of the day, like, you know, we've been good with injuries, right? Like, prevent injuries and stars being able to play. And like, but I think, like, you, like, the ticky-tack stuff, like you got to eliminate the ticky-tack shit. Like, let dudes play. Let there be a little bit more banter, a little bit more shit talking. Like we teeing up a little too much. Refs are, like, a little too sensitive in situations. I think it's just got to be a little bit more raw, I feel like. You know what I mean?
That's more entertaining. That's why I'm like, I wonder why it's like that.
Yeah.
It's again, they now, want like entertainment.
Now, I feel like it's tough, like you getting into it and then, like, you can't really, like, all right, if two dudes talking shit, like, all right, let them talk shit. Like, let them, that's going to make one side go hard. It's going to make the other side go hard. Like, that's going to make both parties play harder. Like, that's going to be better for the game to let them go at it. Like, let them talk their shit. Let them get into it. To an extent, like, don't let it go overboard where they, like, this fight's about to break out, but, like.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Almost like, oh.
I like
all
it.
Right.
The next question is coming from Arvin Batcha 3356, and they want to know, if you started a team, would you rather have Tony Parker or Steve Nash at your prime, in their prime at point guard?
Ooh,
that's horrible.
This is.
I'm from Cali, man. That's what we say out here. We say it's hard out here. That's what, you know, it's hard. Okay, it's hard. That's what Cali people say. You from Cali? Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's tough.
Answer the question: Steve Nash or Tony Parker?
That's a tough one, bro. Because both of them obviously goated. It's hard to pick one. Like, you can't. I feel like you can't go wrong with either one. Like, one. Like, I think Steve Nash individually probably sticks out more, but, like, Tony Parker is a champion, won championships, final MVP. Steve Nash, obviously regular season, two-time regular season MVP. Played same amount of years. Like, they kind of numbers identical a little bit. Steve Nash, I think, averaged a little bit more points. He averaged more assists. But it's hard to say, like, because if you put Steve Nash on those Spurs teams, Spurs still probably winning championships.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, Tony Parker, I'm not like, Tony Parker obviously had Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Sean Elliott, Ginobili, coached by one of the best all time coaches in history of the game. And I'm, you know, it's tough.
He, And simultaneously, it was also a completely different system. You know,
different system.
Steve Nash, if you put Tony Parker on the Suns,
right,
he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot more, lot more pick and roll.
Right,
like, it
that's
was a
true.
Whole
that's
different,
true. So,
like,
then,
so the
now
stats
you see,
might be, he might have had the same stats, if not more,
that's
than
true.
Steve Nash.
You know, that's true. And TP was more of a scoring guard. So, like, him having the ball more, like, his scoring might have went crazy. So, like, it's hard to, you know, put the two, separate or compare the two if they switch roles.
Defense. Who had better defense? That's how you put it all together. Whoever had the better defense,
Tony Parker was known more for his defense. But, like, Steve Nash was top five in steals every year. Like, Steve Nash was top 10 in steals every year. Damn near, like, you know, a lot of the seasons he was, you know.
Yeah, I would compare it off of defense.
So who do you pick? You're drafting your 2K lineup.
If I'm drafting,
you're loading the game.
I like shooting. I like 3-point shooting. I'm gonna go Steve Nash. I'm gonna go Steve Nash.
That's a good one.
I like it.
Like you said, you can't lose with either one. That's a good one.
Yeah,
You can't lose with either one. Steve Nash, I would have picked too.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think we were all Steve Nash there.
Yeah.
When this episode airs, you would have played two afternoon weekend games, starting a stretch of 5 games over 7 days. Oh boy. But we had an email from someone named James, and they asked, how does P handle back-to-backs or 5 in 7 days games? Like, pull the curtain back a little bit of the process of how a professional hooper handles that.
Yeah, this is tough. Trust me, this is tough. Like, mentally exhausting, physically exhausting. It's stressful. Like, when you, like, you know what I mean? You get one out of one game, you go right into another game, you got a day off, you go right into another game, after that, another game. Like, that shit is extremely stressful. And it's mentally draining, especially when you switching states, you going to new cities, new hotels, like, waking up, you know, body aching, get right back to it. So it is tough. It is draining. But for me, I like my off days are literally, I don't want to talk to nobody. I'm chilling. I don't want to do, I might have, like, you know, agent hit me up. I might have like people know I'm not scheduling nothing on back-to-back days. Like, I'm chilling. Those are my days for me. So I think that's kind of, It's more so mental. Like, it's more so mental. I like to go into games with mental clarity, and not be exhausted while I'm on the court. And so those days are just for me. I think that's the days off. So those 2 days in between the 5 out of 7, those 2 days are extremely important to me, to not overly exhaust myself when I have time to kind of recover and you know, rehab and treat myself physically and mentally. So those 2 days become extremely important.
P, I know you're a two-way player, but let's just focus on your offense right now. T Compos asks, who has been the toughest player to score on in your NBA career?
Toughest player to score on?
Yep.
Probably Drew.
Okay. What makes it so tough for you to score on Drew?
Just, like, Drew got locks. Like,
that's it.
Drew got locks. Like, he got locks. He's strong as shit. He's quick. And, like, he loves to play defense. Like, that is the worst thing. Like, that is the worst trait that you can go up against somebody that loves, he just loves to play defense. Like, and I, like, those are always the toughest matchups for me offensively when the guys are, like, super shorter than me.
Does his brothers got defense like that?
Mm-mm.
Not as good as him. Like, no. Aaron plays good defense.
But it's not
Justin
close.
Plays good defense. Like, they're defenders. But Drew is just, it's another level. Like,
he has
anticipation. He
that's the word.
Instincts. He has, like, he knows your, like, tendencies. Like,
he's smart. Like, he knows where you're going to put the ball.
He's like a cerebral defender.
So he's already looking at the player report. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. He does
this. He just knows movement. Like, he just knows what you want to do and is always at the right place at the right time. Plus, he has all those attributes.
How many first-team defense he's been on?
I'm not sure. I think he has a few, though.
He should.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, he's got to have at least one. For sure. He's been on all defensive teams, for sure.
For sure. How many times have you been on them?
First team.
Five or six, right?
All together, defensive teams, I think I've been on four or five.
Come on.
So, Pete, when we're talking about defense, I want to know, in your opinion, is that something that you're just naturally gifted with, like the ability to be a good defensive player? Or do you think that individuals can work their way to being an elite defensive player? Or is it a mixture of both?
I think it's a mixture of both, because I was a poor defender in high school. Like,
yeah.
I was an awful defender. Like, we used to do this drill in high school where the offensive player started on the baseline. The defender started at the free throw line.
Okay.
And you had to throw the ball to the offensive player, and you had to guard him full court.
Yep.
And I used to be so nervous about this drill, because, like, it used to be one move. Yeah. Throw it to them. They take off one way, and they was gone. Like, so I used to hate this one specific drill, and I never was like, you know, I feel like I was a late bloomer into my body, so I didn't really figure out, like, how to move quite well yet. So I wasn't ever a good defender. Like, defense was never my strong suit. But what I did have was the effort. Like, I used to want, just because I love Kobe, I used to want to make it tough for you to score. Like, regardless, any way I could, I'm gonna give extra effort, extra slap down, extra jump. Like, I'm gonna try hard as hell to, like, make it tough for you to score, regardless that I wasn't good at it. And I think what clicked with me was I was good with anticipation, because in high school we would play a press, and I was the front of the press, and that you have to be good at, anticipating, like, is it going to be a bounce pass? Like, are they trying to throw it over? And so I think that's where I got really good at anticipating passes and reading passing lanes, and I was really good off the ball, not good on the ball. And so I think that helped. And then when I got to the NBA, it was just like the only way to get on the court was to play defense. And I think that's just where it hit for me, and it clicked to hone in on the defensive end. So I like, to answer your question, I don't think you necessarily, like, there's God-given abilities you're born with that helps, but I think you can always become a better defender even if you're not good at it. Because it's angles, right? Yeah. Like, defense is angles. Playing angles, knowing tendencies, and then just having effort, like, to play on the defensive end.
Yeah. I had a coach in high school, because I didn't like to play defense. His name was Dean Bradshaw, and he specialized in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a couple questions, but one thing that he told me when I was younger that all you kids out there should listen to is, he basically told me, if you want to play at the next level, you have to be able to guard a guard.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't guard a guard, like, you're useless.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so detailed on teaching us all the different angles. And just like what you said, defense is obviously anticipation, God-gifted athleticism, but it's literally just angles, mm-hmm. like knowing what angle to take, seeing space on the floor. How many times in the NBA has someone sat with you and you worked on your defensive angles? Does that happen? I feel like it doesn't.
That's not often in today's game. Like,
sad.
That's not often in today's game. Like, you don't cover defense as much as you used to. Like, my first couple years in Indiana, we covered defense every day. Like, that was number one priority, was defense. We would literally go over it in practice and shoot around, like, extensive work to become a better defending team. And then it gave you confidence that when you get on the court, like, everyone knew what coverage we're going to, like, where are we sending this? What shots we're going to give up? And, like, that's just, it doesn't happen as often, I think, in the NBA now. The focus is more so how to score, how to get good opportunities, good looks, and be efficient offensively. I think that's what the focal point is in today's NBA.
I think I'm going to start an Instagram called Lethal Defender.
Lethal Defender.
I could teach defense.
You think
I'm a good defender.
Yeah.
A lock and I'm yeah, lock. I'd be locking
take
him
home
up.
Boy,
yeah.
Named elite lethal shooter. What's his name?
Lethal shooter, lethal defender. But people need it, like, because that's you don't see anyone teaching people how to play defense.
Yeah,
nobody.
And
it's honestly so simple.
Like I think defense, learning and teaching defense is so simple. It just comes down to effort. You know what I mean? Like it comes down to effort. In Indiana, we didn't have guys necessarily great at defense when they first got there or after they left. Like there wasn't like guys that would come that was like known for defense. But like when you put in the system of and you hit it over the head every day, like this is how we're going to defend. This is how we guard. You know, we're doing drills. We would break it down so much. Like we would do rebounding drills. We would do the straight up, like we would practice the straight up of verticality at the basket.
That's
like,
dope.
That was a drill we would do on a consistent basis, how to not foul. And like everybody would do it. George Hill, Lance Stephenson, Roy Hibbert, David West.
You do it a lot now.
I would. Like that's just been instilled in me. Just go straight up. Like,
straight up and you would foul.
And it's tough for people to finish when you get that contact and you're expecting a call and there's no call.
Uh-huh.
It throws you off. It was my indie days. Like we were special because we worked on it so much.
And it's true. Everybody
maybe
had
it's
that
not
defense.
The rule changes. Maybe it's just people. No one practices defense anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to. It's hard to because like
a lot of wear and tear. It's more wear.
It's
is
more
it,
wear.
It probably
it's
is,
for sure more wear and tear
like
because you need
charges.
Actual physical bodies.
Yeah.
To practice defense, like we're doing box out drills back then, like actually hitting each other. Like no bullshit, we was actually
and Lance
hitting
coming
each other
in for a rebound. Like
yeah, and you yeah. you. But it built toughness. It built character. It built like if we can do that to each other, can't wait to play the other team. You know what I mean? We can't wait to go against and put this physicality on the other team because we were doing it against each other so much. Like we couldn't wait to play other team, and it was easy when we played other teams because we drilled it and we went over it so much, and it was so much tougher in practice. Because you're doing it constantly, over and over and over. When you get into games, it's like, oh, this shit easy. Like, they don't play as hard as we play. You know what I mean? We're going to run them out the gym because they don't play as hard as we play.
All right, so, P, we just watched the announcement of Jake Paul will be fighting Mike Tyson in July. But before we get into this fan's question, who do you think's going to win that? And Jackie,
what'd he say, Bunky? Sign a contract.
Sign a contract. Just sign a contract right now.
Big boy.
Sign a contract, big boy. Sign a contract, big boy.
Netflix special.
It's
wow.
off of TV, man.
Iron Mike. I'm not going against Iron Mike. I'm not going against Mike Tyson.
I'm not neither.
Tyson is one of those guys that you see his name, I'm voting Mike Tyson. I'm going for Mike Tyson.
You better
wait,
have.
What? You're going for Mike Tyson?
You better have.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Listen. Mike Tyson not going to lose against this boy taking this
okay,
fight.
Okay, you're
this
going. Is, you're saying he's going to win. Gotcha.
Age gap. Like, he's.
He take it serious.
Actually fighting a boxer. Like, he's not fighting an MMA guy. He's not fighting a wrestler. He's not fighting an entertainer. He's fighting a boxer. I don't care how old. The difference, the age gap is, he's fighting a boxer.
You like, see what he did to
wonder what the height
boy,
difference is
boy
in
Jones.
The reach.
It don't matter. Mike ain't scared to get hit.
I think it matters if Mike goes out there and he's really trying to knock him out. Like, is he going to I hope he doesn't
I
go
think
out there.
He,
and,
I think he's yeah. going to do that. I think
gonna,
that's what he's going to do.
It's
going
to make for great entertainment, oh, for sure.
Somebody will bite your ass.
Because Jake Paul, you have to consider him a serious boxer now at this point. Like, if you haven't before, you got to consider him a serious boxer now.
What'd you think about that last fight he just had, though?
That was too easy. Yeah,
who was the boxer?
That was too easy.
What was that?
And I don't even know if people even, like, it wasn't even like highly publicized.
It wasn't. That boxer, from my understanding, was the most experienced, I think, boxer that he has fought.
First round like that?
Yeah.
What was he experienced? Getting his ass knocked out?
Yeah, the guy just didn't.
What is the end goal for Jake Paul? Like, does he want to be known as a serious boxer?
It's tough to.
He called out Canelo.
Yeah, it's tough
Did
to
he?
Say because.
Called out Canelo.
He's a professional troll. That's number one.
Yeah.
He's smart.
Smart as shit.
He's so smart. So it's hard to like, is he doing it for a paycheck?
Yeah.
Does he really care about the sport? I think it's a blend.
I think he really cares about the sport.
I think it's a blend, but it's hard with his personality and his trolling to like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like how serious, I don't know. It's
That's what I want. Like, is he really trying to be a boxer? Like,
I think they'll take it serious.
Because if he is, then like, you want to start going at like,
not Mike Tyson.
Well, he got to get his fights on. Yeah. He got to get his fights on.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying you go against like the Tanks and Haney's and
Ryan
like,
Garcia's.
Ryan Garcia. Like, you don't fight them right away because that's obviously a buildup to get to that point. But you start fighting that caliber, like, yeah. You know what I mean? You start entering in that realm of if you want to be taken or if you trying to be a serious boxer.
Yeah, see, it's just so tough because most of those boxers, man, they started when they were
young,
3 years old. Yeah. They were doing, you know, amateur fights. So it's.
I just think somebody will really whoop his ass if they really don't think about the paycheck and just really go out there and
Mike
fight.
Mike Tyson cares. That's why I like.
That's what
they
I
might
think
go
too.
Crazy
I
think, out there.
They look when he fought Roy Jones, bro. He was trying to knock Roy Jones' head off, bro. It was like Mike, like. Chill out, bro. Like,
now, yeah.
If he fights Canelo, I say he's official boxer now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, it just seems like I'm watching
yeah.
a PlayStation game. Mm-hmm. Every time he has a fight, oh, this is a PlayStation game. It's mm-hmm. not real to me. Like, I don't give a care who they bring. Like, even to Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
How many Jake Paul's fights have you saw?
Every last one.
See? Yeah. So he's bringing.
But you only watch him because.
He's not going to fight Canelo.
Because you want to see him lose?
If somebody's going to be like, I don't want this chick, this money, and knock him out. But nobody does. The only person who did that.
So he got the Floyd. He got the Floyd effect.
Floyd. Yeah,
the Floyd effect. You want to see him lose?
Who? He only lost one fight so far.
Who?
I forget who the dude was. Yeah,
he probably lost.
No, he lost.
He did lose.
Fury, no?
Yeah, that's right.
But hey, Fury looked like I thought he was gonna be way better than what I thought he was.
Yeah,
Jake held his own during.
Yeah,
Fury, that wasn't the real one though.
Well, he's
you need
been
the real,
fighting.
The real
he's
Fury.
Yeah,
the
that,
real
that,
Fury
that,
been
that
his
fight mate. Against Fury could have went either way. That fight, you're right. I did remember watching that.
Yeah,
one. That fight could have went either way.
So you got to think when he fights somebody like Canelo, I'm all tuned in because I know Canelo not gonna lose no fight to no damn Jake Paul.
Yeah. He's not Canelo's not fighting him though until
at
he's
all.
Retired. Like he's gonna do a Floyd thing way if he wants to to make you know a big bag. But Canelo's not about to go fight Jake Paul right now.
If it's a $5 million bag on the table right now to fight Jake Paul,
me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You doing it?
Facts.
I'm really
five
be an
million
actor.
Just to go in there and fight.
Say, where are you want me to go?
Yeah,
want me to turn early and knock down
$5 million.
I got you. Say no more. You want to do four? We do four rounds. You want to do some extra? I'm out there acting like a motherfucker, boy. $5 million. Shit.
Jackie comes out with a snake around his neck into the arena.
I come in the whole fight with a fake tooth right and get blew out. My mouth would hit me. As soon as you hit me, I'm on the bucket. I'm out. $5 million. First round. I'll fall out in the stairs if you want me to.
That's funny.
I'm going to fall all the way out the stairs.
Right, so, all right. Now, okay, $5 million for Jake Paul. So what if, all right, $5 million on the table for Mike Tyson now?
I'm not doing that, I would still do it.
I would still do it.
You would still do it?
Yeah, I would just
you
sacrifice
myself. You going to let Mike Tyson
myself.
Hit you one time? And
I'd be sacrificing myself if I went and fought Jake Paul. Like, you just, for $5 million, you go in there
but
and
you said
you
it so
that,
quick, though. Like.
You just do
Jake
it.
Jake Paul, yeah. Mike Tyson, I mean, I would sacrifice.
I'm thinking about that one.
Did you see the Sean Strickland dude just absolutely maul that Sneeko character in a spar? Oh, man, it was basically the equivalent of stepping in with Mike Tyson. Shit. He started just wailing.
As little as
so,
I...
So who? What pick is in?
Listen, as little as I am, if Mike Tyson hit me, I'm going to come out something wrong with me after that. Brain trauma or something. It ain't gonna
Mike
be right.
The same.
What are we going with?
With what? With what?
That fight, Jake Paul.
Oh, no, I'm going Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
Iron Mike.
Yeah.
Iron Mike.
Yeah. Iron Mike. It is.
What's your price to get in the ring with Mike Tyson?
To get in the ring with Mike Tyson, that shit is a insurance, like. it gotta be
the
like
big payout on the back.
It gotta be like $40 million. 50 mil.
What about for Jake? Would you fight Jake?
To fight Jake? Nah, because he boxed. Like,
so you think Jake Paul's beating you in a fight right now?
Would you fight his brother?
Yeah, he boxed.
Okay.
Would you fight his brother? He wrestled. You like to wrestle.
He boxed too. Like,
you like to wrestle.
If I had a year to train and I could fight Jake Paul, yeah, I would fight Jake
Paul. His brother wrestled.
Be careful, bro. Be careful,
they
dog.
They see the contract. Yeah,
bro, Jake, he's just these basketball guys.
As soon as I
guys,
retire, it's
think,
like a contract
you know,
in my email. No, I mean that like he boxes like there.
Yeah,
it's a different like that's him playing basketball. Like I'm gonna beat him on the court. He doesn't play basketball. Like, but my hands is official. Like let's throw that out there. My hands is official. I think like a lot of like NBA dudes that talk a lot and I think boxing. You got to be coordinated.
Okay, your hands so good. Could you do the slap boxing?
Oh, the power slap?
The power slap?
Yeah, no, it's
no,
quiet.
It's quiet.
I think I'd be good at the power slap, actually.
It's
more
quiet.
Than
oh, my God, I couldn't
you
do
think
it.
You'd be good at it?
I think I'd be way better at power slap than boxing.
Could you imagine power slap? We
you
doing
just
that.
Be sick. Oh, like,
he knocking me out for sure.
Neck think, like this.
Hit you right in your ear.
Before they swing, I'm...
Just wait. Let me know when you're going to do it. I can't
talk
do
about
that.
Go, I want to go watch
talk
it.
Talk about
live.
Having a stupid look.
Oh my God. Did you wake up dazed?
Hey, imagine
what
watching
happened?
One of the homies up there, like, all right, D. Come on, D. Like,
then we talked about, like, what if you go against Kawhi? Like,
Yo, I'll tell you though, it's going to happen.
Damn.
Kawhi walk out there just hands down, walking
right.
up there like.
Right.
Yeah.
Kawhi will definitely be the champion in power slap for years.
Yeah, no, I can't get with the power slap.
We don't
get
got
with
no
the
power slap.
That
is crazy.
What?
That new power slap. We don't know nobody that do that, huh? You know anybody?
Hell no.
You know anybody do
no,
it?
No, no.
All right, fellas. Hey, we answered all the podcast PFAM questions. Do y'all know what today is?
What's today, P?
It's our anniversary.
Today, March 60th.
Yeah, it's a one-year anniversary.
1 year.
Of the podcast 6th. P show.
Ah, hey, Jackie. We came a long way, brother.
We came a long way. Come on, man.
Congratulations, sir.
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks
to Fed, man, for believing us. We wouldn't be here without
them. For season two. Y'all wanted us. We came back. We circled the block, pulled right back up. We talked about our good friend YT a lot. If y'all follow the show, y'all know the name YT, but they don't necessarily know the face behind it.
Are we actually doing
this?
Are we
going to show them YT team?
YT?
Fit is nasty.
Come on,
YT
team.
Blue compression shorts, please come.
What do you got for?
YT to the show.
Oh, he's bringing us gifts, too.
What we get?
As he come in. Take a seat, YT.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The baby
foot.
Okay.
We got some slides. Okay.
We know he ain't yakking.
We got some slides.
I'm right there between. I'm right there with you.
Should we open
Let's
them?
Let's see. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Sit down for a second so we can see you.
Ladies.
Did we open it at the same time? Anniversary, let's
one,
see.
Three, one, two, three. Damn, you're early.
Okay, one, two, three. They will never be worn. Look at our names. If y'all zoom in, you got Dallas,
Jackie, say,
Paul,
hanging
you got 3.6.
He ain't got these on.
Hey, shout out to the artist. I don't know who it is who did them, but y'all did that.
Yeah, these are sick.
They're all different.
Oh, they're all different. Yeah. Hey, we got the Air Force Ones, custom pieced up, podcast P on the sides.
I think I got the
got
best one.
Got my name on it.
Yeah.
I think I got the best
all
one.
All names on it.
Dallas is drippy.
I like.
Yours is drippy.
Yeah, they're all different
yours,
styles,
you got little,
which is cool.
Little boxes or something. That's like our cover on Spotify or YouTube.
Oh.
It's that.
These is hard.
Oh, this is dope. I got the best ones, just to let y'all know. Mine is better than the fellas.
No.
You know, I would never wear
yours
these.
Yours is cartoonish. That means they're childish.
I'm putting these in my little room. Yeah, they will never be worn, but I want to say thank y'all.
Definitely. Nah, we got to
have one year anniversary.
We
got to
have a podcast P-Day where we wear them.
Okay, you got to let us know.
Like next time. Episode, right? Okay, or maybe we even not wear them.
Here, we put them all up there. One up there. Put one up there.
Oh.
Put one up there.
And put also.
Put both.
And I've, I don't know if anybody can hear this, but P, I've never actually thanked you. I've thanked Paul many, many times outside the podcast. And I'm sure I speak on Jackie's behalf too, but thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to do this with you. And it's been a fun run and let's keep it going. So just wanted to.
Yeah, I say the same thing,
nah,
P, because.
It's love, bro. For real, bro. This is sick.
I was unemployed, P. It was a strike happened, and you went and shook me right on up, baby. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what, man?
I gotta thank you, man.
Shout out to our whole crew. We couldn't do this alone. Shout out all of our staff. Shout out our guys behind the cameras that make all of this happen. This is, honestly, I couldn't imagine we be doing this a second time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, going on 2 years of doing this, it's been ultimate fun. It's been a joy. I look forward to shooting. I look forward to production.
And I give you a lot of a big pat on the back too, man. You doing this podcast during an NBA season, and it's one of y'all best seasons that y'all having.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I gotta give you a big shout out for that, just keeping it going. You know what I'm saying? Not just for us and for the fans. You doing something that when you can be getting your rest today.
Right.
And relaxing and chilling with your family.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we appreciate you, man, and really thank you. You know what
I'm
saying?
Come on, at this point, everybody watching this, I want y'all to do this right here.
We made something happen, man.
Oh, man.
We did that.
1 year anniversary. Shout out Kicks courtesy of MC Kicks and NRS Customs X. Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Love.
Come on, third season on the way.
In good spirits of Podcast P, we're going to do the traditional, how we once did in season one. Close us out, Bungie.
Oh, y'all want me to close it out?
Close us out, Bung
Check
Bung.
Check it out. We came in the game and we came to win. It's good growing up when you have some awesome-ass friends.
Hey.
So y'all can make this money and make sure do y'all do one thing for me and tune in. Podcast P.
Yeah.
We out, baby.
Oh, Bungie!
Oh, my God.
That was good.